Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Welcome. My name's Mavi, and I am obviously not Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob asked if I would fill in for him today. I am so happy to be back here. This was my home church for the last couple of years, and I recently moved far away to the land of Las Vegas, Nevada. And I actually had the opportunity to go to a new church and visit for the first time, and I felt like the new kid in school, and it was really scary, and I was a little bit nervous about it, and it helped me to appreciate all of us here and all of the things that we do so wonderfully to welcome new people. So I want to congratulate us on that. In just a moment, we are going to read a story in the account of Matthew about what happened after Jesus was born. So we are now in the time where the celebration has kind of died down a little bit, and we are looking forward into a new year, a new decade, and I want to talk to you guys about what we can do as a community and individuals to help continue and bring that light into the world.
This is Matthew 2:13-23, and if you want to follow along, it's page 784 in your pew Bibles. Escape to Egypt. When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son out of Egypt."
For a minute, I wasn't sure I'd actually make it here today, so I'm super grateful to be here. The roads were closed between San Diego and Las Vegas, and we were delayed several days, and flights were almost impossible to get on. I've never seen them so expensive or full. We actually had a 12-hour layover that was going to be expected in Los Angeles. I decided to wait, and after a bit of stress and many changes to our Christmas plans this year, I finally, you know, gave it up to God and prayed that I would make it here on time. And, of course, I am here, and I'm so thankful. That reminded me that sometimes the journey we think we're going to be on is a lot different than what God has planned for us. When I hear this passage in Matthew, I think a lot about Joseph. And in the stories we read about the birth of Jesus, we hear a lot about Mary, and we continue to hear a lot about Mary, but there's this really small time when we hear about Joseph. And this is one of those times when I think, you know, what kind of guy was Joseph? Was he a go-with-the-flow guy, or was he kind of like me? I'm wound a little bit tight. I like things to go the way they're planned. And when things like this happen and everything just kind of goes up in the air, it's a little bit challenging for me to just let it go. I wonder about the plans that he had for his life as a man, as a father, as a husband. Was he planning to have a quiet carpenter life with his new wife? Or was he planning on being the father of Jesus? When you think about this, what was going through his mind? We know a little bit because we hear about the dreams that he had. You know, the angel came and said, "Hey, you got to get out of here. Herod's going to come, and he's killing kids." You know, it's something that's really horrific. And they're going from having these miraculous events in the birth of Jesus. They're going through a lot of crazy transition, finally escaping to Egypt before they end up in Nazareth. And I also think about Bethlehem, this little town. I looked up online to see, you know, is this actually a small town and how many people live there? And I think now there's still like less than 30,000 people in the little town of Bethlehem. So here they go from a town waiting for this miracle to happen, and then the angels singing at the birth of our Savior, to tremendous tragedy and unimaginable pain. All of this so that the prophecies would be fulfilled. I think Bethlehem for many centuries was very prepared for this to happen. They were waiting. They were excited. Think of the generations of people who died with the faith in their hearts that the world would at long last have the Christ, the peace, and the light. And how many lived with the doubt that it would ever happen. So here we are in the days following the celebration of Christmas. Many Christian families around the world are still celebrating, enjoying the merriment of the season. Others, however, are experiencing what I call the holiday hangover. It's also known as the holiday blues. It's that space where after the dust settles, and we're left with just what is. Whatever that reality may be, it can feel heavy for a lot of people. It's the time in between all this celebration and the end of a year. It's also the time before a new year comes. But it's understandable that it might feel heavy, especially now with all the chaos that's going on in the world. In our own country right now, a lot of people are feeling unsettled and in turmoil. Some are celebrating, some are not. So I ask a question that I read this week in preparation for today's sermon. What now? Where do we go from here? For me, I go back to Bethlehem. I find comfort in believing that Jesus came. Emmanuel, God with us. After generations of silence and darkness, there was light. A promise was fulfilled, and the world was changed. That's amazing to me. Can we just sit for a moment and appreciate what happened in such a basic and simple fashion? A silent night, away in a manger. The Christ was born with angels singing glory to God in the highest. And then chaos, trauma, tragedy, and pain. It's not just one-sided. We don't just get happy in our life. We also have the other side of things. Yet Joseph and Mary moved forward, and they did what they needed to do. They did what they were called to do. Perhaps Joseph chose to believe that something bigger than him was happening. Or maybe he was just acting as a father, trying to protect his family with the information and the experience he had available to him. That's sometimes what I'm doing. I'm just kind of going, and I go off of the information and the experience that's available to me. Today, although our pain may be very different, I think we can all relate at some point in our life to these people, this little family. And how do we move forward from that? So my challenge for us as we cross over to a new year, a new decade, without any guarantee or certainty of any particular outcome, is will you choose to see the light? Will you choose to acknowledge it when you see it? It's really easy to see darkness in the world. Turn on the TV, look at social media, think about politics. You're going to see it. It's everywhere. But will you see the light anyway? When you're surrounded by darkness, will you see the light that's there? It doesn't always need to be this like massively blinding event. Some of us need that blinding light. I think about Saul/Paul on the road to Damascus, this man that we as Christians talk a lot about. And sometimes I think it's just as simple as turning on the light in a dark room. Sometimes you just got to turn the lights on. Sometimes it's just basic and simple. Like Miss Vicky says, will you look up at the stars in the night sky and know that God is with us? Or will you allow the pollution to drown it out? It's interesting. There's this really long stretch between San Diego and Las Vegas right before you get into town where there's absolutely nothing. And I always say to my son, Enzo, look up at the sky. We can see the stars. And they seem so much bigger. But it's that space in between the light pollution, which is interesting. We're talking about light, but light can also pollute. It can come at you like this, to where you can't actually see that it's coming through the darkness. So look up at the stars. God gave us this amazing gift of light, love, kindness, peace that we celebrate every year at Christmas. And it's here now as powerful as ever. God is here now. You know how I know? God has shown me. I'd like to share a little story with you. It's an experience that happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. I was asked to do a live interview on YouTube with a true crime expert and detective talking about my cousin's case. Her life and the life of her children were stolen from us just a couple of years ago, and it was the anniversary of their deaths. And I prayed a lot after I was asked that I would know what to do and what to say, and that I would do the right thing, not only for myself, but also for my family. And I was remembering the darkness. I was remembering the pain. And even though I really don't like to be in crowded places, after work, I decided to stop at Trader Joe's. You know, exposure therapy, maybe. And got in line behind someone who had their basket, but nobody was there. And this girl comes running up, and she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I know I broke the rules, and I cut in the line, and then I went out, and I came back again." And I'm going to tell you, I didn't care. This woman was so sparkly, and not in a physical way. She just shined with her energy and personality. And she was like, "Wait a minute, I don't know you." And I'm thinking, of course you don't know me. Like, do you know everybody who comes to this store? Is that where we are? And she wanted to know what I was doing there and where I came from and why I moved and all these questions. And she says, "I live right there and my parents live over by you. They're your neighbors." And she was just talking and joyous. And she wished me luck. And she told me that this was a good place that I was in. And I really appreciated her. And then it was time for her to pay, and I watched her engage with the cashier, and she was so kind with him, and I knew that he noticed it too, because as she walked out the door, both of us looked at each other like, "Did you just see that? Like, did we see that?" And then he was kind to me, and he gave me a Nevada Trader Joe's reusable bag, and he said, "Just because I want you to feel like you're at home." And then he told me when to not come to the store. Which I think I appreciated most of all. And both of us looked at each other, and we blessed each other, and we thanked each other. And he told me, "I came from California 3 years ago. You are in a good place, and you made a good choice." Not sure on that one yet, but I felt like it was the message that I needed to see and hear right then. You see, when I needed to see light and kindness, God showed that to me in such a simple way. God showed me the best of this new place that I was in. And I wonder if we can be that. Can we be the very best of this place? When someone walks in the door here, when someone interacts with you in your day, will you represent the best of this world? It's such a gift to receive that, being on the other side and knowing there's good right now. I needed that so much. And that's kind of a pattern with God and me. I seem to get what I need even when I didn't ask for it. And I'm okay with that, because when I've needed grace, I've gotten to see people go through tragedy with grace. When I've needed stillness, I've watched people sit and pray with patience and resolute faith. And sometimes there's a great big snowstorm that stops my journey and keeps me exactly where I need to be. You know, it's those Damascus moments. And when I needed faith in my life, God shined this great big light right here in Pacific Beach and showed me family. So what now? Where do we go from here? How do we go forward and bring light into this world? Jesus told his disciples after he lived, died, and had risen again, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the nations." What if we read that in a way that means, go into all the world and be the gospel? Be the good news. Be the light. Do you think we can do that? Amen. Yes. Will you allow Christ's life to live in this world through you? These are the challenges. Will you see the light when it shows up in your life? When you meet someone who sparkles, will you go, thank you, God. Thank you for showing me that person right now. I needed that. I promise you, you did. Can you represent the best of this world with kindness, peace, and love? When someone encounters you on the path, will you sparkle and stick on them? I'm talking about this encounter 2 weeks later. It was sticky like glitter. And I don't think I like glitter very much because it's messy, but you know what? I'll take it. I'll take it in this form. And I want to sparkle like that. And will you be the light? Will you go into the world? I believe God is with us, and Christ's light shines brightly through us, for us, and for the world. Jesus said, "Your love for one another will be the proof that you are my disciples." Basic and simple. Your love for one another. That's how they will know. That's something we do here. We really love each other. We love each other hard. We love each other when it's hard, and we love each other when it's easy. And I appreciate that so much. I pray today and that every day that you will share that love that we have when we gather here together, beyond those doors and to the world. You should have seen me at Passing the Peace at a different church. You know, I'm wanting to stand up and dance in the middle. It doesn't happen everywhere else. It's one of those things that I appreciate. It turns out when you do that and it's out of decorum, people kind of look at you strange. But that's an example of our love. And that's how, when people encounter us, they will know that there is light after darkness. Thank you so much.
Please join your hearts with mine as we go to God in prayer. God of unexpectedness, God of the unplanned, God of surprises, as we journey through this season of Christmas, as we remember that December 25th is not the end, but just the beginning of our celebration of light, the beginning of the revelation that you are incarnate with us in every moment, in every place, whether in this space under this steeple, whether in California or Nevada, or in line at Trader Joe's. We give thanks in all places and at all times for your light and your presence with us. As we close out this year, we lift up both our joys and our concerns from this community to you. We think especially on this eve of another trip around the sun that you would grant us faith and encouragement through the new year. We also ask for peace and healing for Judy and for anyone else who may be struggling with illness or other maladies. We know that the way that we love each other is not as perfect as you love us. But God, we ask that you would help our love to be perfected in you. As Jesus taught his disciples 2 millennia ago, we lift our voices together in love and praise as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.